So you see them, the first reason is Deuteronomy chapter 13, why they wanted to pick up stones. The second reason why I believe they wanted to pick up stones and remove Jesus from their midst is because of the story of Hanukkah, all right? Now, keep your finger in John chapter 10, and now jump to Daniel chapter 11, all right? And this is where the story of Hanukkah comes into play. And this is where you need to read, you need to study, you need to put these pieces of the puzzle together. So as you're reading these things, you can say, wow, this is incredible. Now, there are a couple of views on the book of Daniel, all right? Some people think that Daniel was written at a later period of time, which means that these events in Daniel that we're about to talk about they're just historical facts, all right? On the other side, there are some scholars who believe that Daniel was written early, while Daniel was in Babylon, all right? That's when I believe the book of Daniel was written. Therefore, it makes these ideas that we're about to discuss prophetic, all right? And the difference between prophecy and history, only God knows the future. And if God can tell the future of what's going to happen, all right, if he does it with a section of Scripture, you know the rest of the Bible is just as valid, whether it has come to pass or not, all right? Now, what's really cool about Daniel chapter 11, all right, let me see if we can get there. All right. In Daniel chapter 11, and we don't have... I wish we had all day to talk about this, but we don't have all day. That's why, again, you need to go back. But we're going to look at a couple of verses in Daniel chapter 11 to try to just paint the picture of Hanukkah so you can go back. Has anybody here read the Apocrypha? Does anybody know what the Apocrypha is? Okay. If you happen to have a Catholic Bible, okay, or an Orthodox Bible, Bible that the Orthodox Church puts out. There's a series of books in there that's called, and they call it the Apocrypha. It basically means hidden, all right? In the Apocrypha, there are many books, but two of them that are very important to Hanukkah, they're called 1st and 2nd Maccabees, all right? The Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, they think that those books are inspired, all right? As part of the Protestant church, and you know, you folks are that too, we believe that the Apocrypha is more of a historical book. It's a history book, but it's not an inspired book, all right? Well, in the Apocrypha, we have some of the, some history as to what happened during the days in which Hanukkah came about, all right? And so we look at Daniel, then we look at the Apocrypha, and you can see how things just line up. It's perfect. It's incredible, all right? All right. What else can I say? You know, you need to read. Read, all right. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 3, all right? And Daniel was given a number of dreams, all right? And he explains in Daniel what these dreams meant. Okay, not only was the vision there, but he also provided the interpretation. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 3, it says, 3 and 4, "And a mighty king will arise, and he will rule with great authority and do as he pleases. But as soon as he has risen, his kingdom will be broken up and parceled out towards the four points of the compass, though not of his own descendants, nor according to his authority which he wielded. For his sovereignty will be uprooted and given to others besides them." Do you have any idea who I'm talking about? Who? That's Alexander the Great. All right? Very good. All right. Now, you know, not only do you need to be a disciple of Jesus, and that is good, but you need to be a disciple of history. You need to study to see how does this fit in? As you know, the story about Alexander the Great, all right? He was a young man by the time of about 30 years old. He's about 30 years of age. He had conquered the known world of his day, all right? He was an incredible military genius. He was able to lead his men, and he had it all, all right? After a couple of years of no more areas to conquer, what we know about Alexander, he became a drunk, and he died. He died in Babylon, all right? Well, one thing about Alexander, he had no children. So here we have in Daniel chapter 3, or in chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, it talked about how a mighty king will rise. And we know that that mighty king was Alexander, and he ruled on his authority, all right? Meaning there was nobody greater than him. And it goes on, and he did as he pleased. Now, what was interesting about Alexander, because he had no children, because he had no wife, he had no descendants, when he died, okay, there was nobody to pass his kingdom to. So what did he do? His kingdom was divided up into four areas. He gave his land, his kingdom, to four of his generals. All right? Now, and this happened in about 332. It started in about 332, and by the 320s, it's done, okay? His kingdom, Alexander, is dead. His kingdom is divided. Now, there are two primary, of these four generals, there are two primary ones that we need to consider for the story of Hanukkah, all right? If you're familiar with this, with the map of the Middle East, you will know Israel is in the middle, right? Right here. Then up here is where you have modern-day Syria. So you have the Assyrians, all right? And then you have the Egyptians down here. Well, biblically, in Daniel, okay, and for the events of Hanukkah, the people up north, northeast of Israel, they were called the Seleucids, all right? And then the people down in Egypt, the rulers, were the Ptolemies, all right? And for the next, it's about another 150 years, all right, before Rome became a mighty power, all right, you had the Seleucids up here and the Ptolemies down here fighting one another. And, you know, there were a series of about five Seleucid kings. And for a while they were successful. For a while the Ptolemies were successful. It just kept going back and forth, back and forth. And if you read, all right, in verse 5, Daniel chapter 11, okay, in verse 5 it says, and the king of the south, that's the Ptolemies. That's the king of present-day Egypt, all right? It also talks about the king of the north. You will see that in that passage. That's the Seleucid king, all right? And just over these a series of generations, they just keep fighting back and forth, back and forth. And what's really fascinating, all right, from verses 5 all the way to about verses 22, it's a perfect match. It's a perfect match. What was predicted matches up with the historical record. It's incredible. That's why some writers, some scholars today, they believe that Daniel was written after these events because it's perfect. It lines up exactly, all right? But we know differently. Well, after about 150 years of fighting, all right, there was this king. His name was Antiochus the IV, all right? He was actually, I believe, the fifth ruler to come for the Seleucid kingdom. And he starts off, we can start reading about him in verse 21, all right? No, let's start in actually verse 20. It says, then in his place one will arise who will send an oppressor through the jewel of his kingdom, yet within a few days he will be shattered, though neither in anger nor in battle. All right? And in his place, a despicable person will arise on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Well, this man, Antiochus IV, okay, he was not entitled to be king. He wasn't in that royal bloodline, all right? But he was able to seize the Seleucid kingdom. Basically, he tricked the people, all right? Basically, he convinced the people that he could keep them safe. They put their trust in him, and he basically became king. So the scripture calls this man a despicable person, all right? Now, what goes on about Antiochus IV, after a few years, he decided, all right, after losing a battle to the Ptolemies down in Egypt, on his way back home, back up to the Seleucid area, he decided that he was going to stop the worship of God that was going on in the temple in Jerusalem. All right? This is now 168. So 168 years before the birth of Christ. All right? So approximately 200 years before the birth of Jesus. All right? That's important to remember. So 168, now this is what Antiochus said. He basically said that the Jewish style of worship following the Torah was supposed to cease. The Jewish people were to live like Gentiles, all right? For example, one of the things that they said, that Antiochus IV said, he said that the Jewish style of worship was to cease how? The Jewish people were to start eating pork, all right? Now, you might eat pork, that's fine, that's between you and God, you know, Romans chapter 14, you have the freedom to do what you want, to eat whatever you want. But in the days of Antiochus, at that period of time when my people were living under the Mosaic law, it was not permitted to eat pork. All right? So one of the things that Antiochus did, he said they offered a pig on the altar, and then they wanted all the Jewish people to start eating pork. Okay? That was a no. Another thing that they wanted the Jewish people to do was they wanted to stop circumcising the boys. All right? Now, on one side, that sounds good. You know, I mean, it takes away a lot of pain there. All right? I mean, just the practical aspect. But the Jewish boys were to be circumcised on the eighth day. It's in the Torah. It was scriptural. That was one of those things. All right? And what's interesting, I'm going to go biological on you, all right? You know, as this wedding ring, this is a daily reminder. When I have this ring on, when I look at it, I am reminded daily that I have made a promise, that I made a covenant with my wife, right? Well, what's interesting about being circumcised as a man, I mean, obviously, this is a guy thing, but every time, you understand, okay? You know, every time that I relieve myself, and we're adults, I can say this, okay? When a guy relieves himself, I'm getting kind of embarrassed, but when I relieve myself, I have a reminder that something in my life, something on my body was cut, all right? That's that promise. That's that reminder that I do not belong to myself, okay? I have that reminder, and I see it all the time, that I belong to somebody else. I belong to my Creator. I belong to God, all right? So one thing that Antiochus, he wanted to do, he wanted the Jewish people, the men, the boys, to stop being circumcised so that reminder would not be there. He wanted to erase everything in the Jewish culture, okay? Now, here was the penalty, and you can read about this in the Apocrypha, in 1st and 2nd Maccabees, okay? And this is in 2nd Maccabees. if a Jewish baby was circumcised, all right, the person who was punished, the baby was murdered, all right? And this is written, and then the baby, what they would do, it says that they took the baby and they would hang the dead baby, all right, around the mother's neck, and they would force her to walk throughout the city, all right? And then they got to a point, they would throw her and her dead baby off a wall. It said that she was thrown head first. All right? It's a difficult time to be Jewish. It was a difficult time to follow the law, the revelation that was available at that point in time.